here. 2 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 1. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Moreover, Ahithophel said unto Absalom, let me now choose out 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue after David this night. And I will come upon him while he is weary and weak-handed, and will make him afraid, and all the people that are with him shall flee. And I will smite the king only, and I will bring back all the people unto thee. The man whom thou seekest is as if all returned, so all the people shall be in peace. And the saying pleased Absalom well, and all the elders of Israel. Then said Absalom, call now Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear likewise what he saith. And when Hushai was come to Absalom, Absalom spake unto him, saying, Ahithophel hath spoken after this manner. Shall we do after his saying? If not, speak thou. Hushai said unto Absalom, the counsel that Ahithophel hath given is not good at this time. For, said Hushai, thou knowest thy father and his men, that they be mighty men, and they be chafed in their minds, as a bear robbed of her whelps in the field. And thy father is a man of war, and will not lodge with the people. Behold, he is hid now in some pit, or in some other place, and it will come to pass, when some of them be overthrown at the first, that whosoever heareth it will say, there is a slaughter among the people that follow Absalom. And he also that is valiant, whose heart is as the heart of a lion, shall utterly melt. For all Israel knoweth that thy father is a mighty man, and they which be with him are valiant men. Therefore I counsel that all Israel be generally gathered unto thee from Dan even to Beersheba, as the sand that is by the sea for multitude, and that thou go to battle in thine own person. So shall we come upon him in some place where he shall be found, and we will light upon him as the dew falleth on the ground, and of him and of all the men that are with him there shall not be left so much as one. Moreover, if he be gotten into a city, then shall all Israel bring ropes to that city, and we will draw it into the river until there be not one small stone found there. And Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the counsel of Hushai the Archite is better than the counsel of Ahithophel. For the Lord had appointed to defeat the good counsel of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring evil upon Absalom. Let's pray. We'll ask God's direction in the message tonight. I trust it'll be a help as we continue to look at this narrative, this story here from the Old Testament. Father, direct my thinking tonight. I pray that it'll be a help to those that have come tonight. We thank you for those that are here on campus. Thank you for those that are watching online. We do pray that you work in each heart and life as a result of the things that we study. And as I receive feedback from different topics that are touched on, Lord, no doubt there are a lot of places of application from these Old Testament stories. And so I pray that you continue to help us through the decisions and the paths that were chosen by these Old Testament characters. Direct us tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. It's fascinating to study out these chapters. Again, this whole cycle of events really began in chapter 11 when David chose his path of sin, and he had that opportunity to make his choice, but he, of course, did not get to choose his consequences. A consequence of David's choice was that of the loss of four children. It was actually a sentence that he gave to himself when he said that the man that had stolen the lamb would restore fourfold. And so David had lost the baby, the son, that was initially born to Bathsheba. He has now lost Amnon, who was slaughtered by his brother and by others that had gathered there on behalf of Absalom. And now he faces this rebellion. And you'll recall that as we looked at this in the previous Sunday nights, that there was one specific judgment that was cast upon David about the nature of his wives that were left back in the land of Jerusalem. And God, of course, desired that it would be one man for one woman for one lifetime. But we see that the righteous kings made poor decisions in this area, and they were much like the wicked kings of the world in that day, and they chose to heap unto themselves many wives. Solomon by far surpassed all the rest with his wives and then his concubines and so forth. And God warned them about those wives leading the heart of a man away from the nature of his fellowship with Jehovah. So what we've seen here in these chapters, 14, 15, 16, and now into 17, is the rebellion of Absalom. Absalom, for a time, was distant from the land of Jerusalem, and he was scared to death of going back into the kingdom for what his father might do. And then when he got back into the kingdom, he lived at a distance. He did everything he could to undermine his dad. And we've now come to this point where David has removed himself from Jerusalem. And you'll recall that we are in the midst of, or in the middle of this story. You'll recall that we actually have two different kinds of individuals that are left there in the kingdom. Ahithophel was the advisor for David, and he turns on David and stays with Absalom, and we referred to him last Sunday night as a devious advisor, seeking his own glory, seeking his own good. And then we had the double agent, Hushai. And so when we come here into chapter 17, Hushai has been commanded by David to stay in the kingdom and to do everything he can within the kingdom and within the operation of the kingdom to turn the cycle and turn the events so that Absalom might not really take full control of the kingdom and that he might be able to repel this rebellion. And so right in these verses that I've just read, they both give their counsel. Ahithophel gives counsel and he says, we must move immediately. Okay? Now, let's put in our mind's eye what we've studied in the previous week, and then I hope that you'll think on these things as we've been in chapter 16. Remember that David is leaving the city of Jerusalem, and I would say it's primarily because he does not want civil war to destroy the city itself. And so he wants to remove himself from the kingdom, and if there's going to be an ultimate battle, even if it means David's defeat, he does not want the destruction of Jerusalem. He loves the city. And so he removes himself, but he leaves certain people behind. Absalom, again, under the counsel of Ahithophel, does some very dastardly things, some very wicked things. And he does it in the sight of all of the city of Jerusalem. And David was warned about this when he had sinned with Bathsheba. And so all of this is transpiring, but here's the interesting thing, or as we move forward in this, Ahithophel appears to be giving wisdom that is just straight from the oracles of God. And as David is working his way out of town, do you remember this? We have those that started to fish in troubled waters. We have the household of Saul that rears its ugly head again and seeks to use this rebellion of Absalom to bring pain and further hardship. Ziba comes in and says, hey, this is what's going on with Mephibosheth, and so David's deceived by him. Then he comes across the river, and there's another family member of Saul that begins to hurl all kinds of verbal abuse at David, and then even begins to try to physically abuse David. So all of this is transpiring as David is on his way out of Jerusalem, and we would ask this question. At this stage, is David in any kind of position to fight a battle? Well, I would say no. I would say that they would probably want to withdraw themselves and gain a little bit of rest or some strength or some substance that they might then be ready for battle. Now, we know that David's men were prepared at the drop of a hat to take anyone's head off. And we see that when this individual was speaking all these things against David, one of his men says, hey, David, do you want me to go take care of that guy? He'll never say another word again in his life. And David has him held back and reflects on those things. Again, all of this is in chapter 16, leading us into chapter 17. Well, now it comes down to a debate, if you would. Before this time, Absalom is only listening to Ahithophel, Hushai appears to be also in the camp of David, and so he says, okay, I want to hear what Hushai says. Ahithophel's counsel, as far as Absalom was concerned, was good counsel. So let's get that right. Ahithophel said, give me men, I'll go out, and now in this time, I'll defeat him, and I'll leave all the people alive, and I'll take care of David and bring him back, and everyone will be excited. This will work out great. His desire was to defeat those with David and to take the king by stealth, if you would. Hey, they're tired. They're weary. They don't have sustenance. They're on the run. They've been beaten down verbally. They've been beaten down physically. They're out of their home there in Jerusalem. They're out of the palace. They're on the run. This is the perfect time. Give me this number of men. I'll go out. I'll defeat his men, bring them back, and I'll specifically bring the king back, and we will defeat the army by taking the king by stealth. So that's Ahithophel's strategy, and I want you to know that as far as Absalom was concerned, that was really good counsel. That was good counsel. But God and David have a secondary counselor there, and he's the double agent. Verses 5 through 14, he gives his counsel. Hushai's counsel is actually very good for David. It's very profitable for David. And so where Ahithophel says, let's go in, defeat the army, take the king by stealth, Hushai says, no, let's delay the attack. And we will take the king by strength. We'll go mano a mano and we'll prove to your dad, this king warrior king, we'll prove to him that we're really the biggest and the baddest and the best. And so where one is saying, hey, we got to get going right now, they're weary, they're tired, they do not have food, they do not have necessary sustenance, let's go now, we'll defeat them, and we'll do it by stealth, we'll bring him back, and hey, you'll have everything. Hushai said, no, let's give some time, let's assemble our forces. Let's put them on notice, if you would. And we'll take them by strength. We'll go toe-to-toe with your dad, this warrior king. You see that in what he says throughout the nature of David and his kingdom and his warrior-type nature. Now, after they give counsel on war, we find that there's a concealment of a warning. So when Absalom says, I'm going to take Hushai's counsel, he turns on Ahithophel. Hushai goes out, and let's pick up the reading in verse number 15. Here's the concealment of a warning. They give their counsel on war. One, defeat the army now. The other, delay the attack. One says, take the king by stealth. The other says, take the king by strength. The concealment of a warning. Hushai leaves this meeting, and I tell you, this is where it's getting good. He's wearing a wire. He's got the meeting bugged, however you would say it. He leaves the scratch mark on the phone booth. Whatever you've seen in the James Bond movies, okay? Hushai's doing it all right now, okay? He has the phone in his sandal. He takes the heel off, and he makes a phone call and everything like this, all right? For those that say that the Bible just doesn't have a lot of great stories, this is one of them. Hushai leaves that meeting, and he's very careful on horseback not to be followed, okay? Taxi! Taxi! Calls the taxi over, gets in it, and now he's going to make a decision. And look at verses 15 and 16. Now, and again, this was strategic for who David had left in the kingdom. And this is getting good now because it involves those that are in the ministry, and I always love that, all right? I've always thought that we who are in the ministry could be great at spy work because we could always go to the door and say, we're out visiting for Fairfax Baptist Temple. Just wanted to let you know that we'd love to have you come visit our church one day. You know, always thought that was kind of a good double agent type thing, but no one's asked. Verse number 15, all right? Then said Hushai unto Zadok and to Abiathar the priest, He has heard that Absalom is going to take his counsel. He goes to these two individuals, Zadok and Abiathar. Thus and thus did Ahithophel counsel Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus have I counseled. So here's the two sides. Here's what Absalom has chosen to do. Verse number 16. Now therefore send quickly. By the way, this is all being done at the potential sacrifice of Hushai's life. Because I'm sure if this was found out that they would rapidly put him to death. But he says in verse number 16, now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, lodge not this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily pass over, lest the king be swallowed up and all the people that are with him. David, I've bought you some time. Ahithophel wanted to strike immediately. He wanted to strike with this number of people while you're at your lowest. But David, I've bought you some time. And the Bible says that instead of David staying where it might be near, David, go further, get further away from here, and this will actually help in your restoration of the kingdom. Verse number 17. Now Jonathan and Ahimaaz stayed by Enrogel, for they might not be seen to come into the city. And a wench went and told them, and they went and told King David. So again, this is just great spy stuff, okay? So-and-so went and left the note here under this table, and so-and-so went and left this mark, and now they're seeing what's happening in this location and that location. Verse number 18, as well as Hushai being at work, the devil's at work. In verse number 18, nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. Do you remember back in the story of, it's one of my favorite hated names in the Bible. Back when David was running from Saul, and he went into the high priest or into the priest's location, and he obtained the sword of Goliath, and he obtained some showbread for sustenance. There was a man by the name of Doeg. I just hate that name. And young people, that's a good name for you to hate as well, all right? Doeg was a spy on behalf of Saul. And Doeg went back and told Saul, let me back up and fix something as a pastor. Kids, you're not supposed to hate anyone. All right, sorry about that, parents. All right. Dislike them intensely, okay? All right, let's just get that straight, okay? So I want to correct something before you go to devotions this week and all your kids say, pastor said that we're supposed to hate someone. All right, okay, all right, I got it. Doeg is just a miserable wretch of a man. And so Doeg turns in the high priest or the priest there that was giving the resources to David. And the Bible says that Saul sent men and killed all of those ministering men and priests and so forth because of Doeg's words. In this passage, Hushai has got Jonathan and Ahimaaz, and they're going to be the individuals, the spies that would be retained. They will go out and they'll get the word to King David. So King David has multiple individuals that are there in the kingdom, still loyal to him, Hushai, Zadok, Abiathar, and then these two individuals. But Absalom hears from a lad that these spies are now working their way to King David. So Hushai uses these spies. He retains them. But their identity is revealed by this child. And then look what the Bible says, how God protects. This is very much like the story of Rahab and the two spies. I love this. You got to like this chapter of the Word of God. The Bible says, nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom, but they went both of them away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim, which had a well in his court, whither they went down. So these guys are going to hide down in the well. This is a great plan. Remember the two spies with Rahab? They're hidden there on the top of her house. The Bible says, and the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth and spread ground corn thereon, and the thing was not known. I referenced last Sunday night's message. When a person is seeking to do right and protecting those that are righteous, God honors that protection. Verse number 19. So she spreads corn out. She makes it look like it's a covering and everything like this, and they're looking all around, not knowing that the two guys are down in the bottom of the well. Verse number 20. And when Absalom's servants came to the woman to the house, they said, "Where is Ahimaaz and Jonathan?" And the woman said unto them, "They be gone over the brook of water." And when they had sought and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. God protected these two spies. They are rescued. Now, what happens after that? Again, the story is getting better and better. They give counsel for war. They conceal this warning that they pass on to David. Now look at verse number 21. It came to pass, as after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, "Arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you." Then David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan by the morning light. There lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. Again, can you imagine if he had heeded Ahithophel's message and pressed them against the river Jordan, where they did not have necessary things, they did not have necessary sustenance, and if they stayed there, but this gave time. Verse number 23. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and gat him home to his house, to his city, and put his household in order and hanged himself and died and was buried in the sepulcher of his father. Now, I just happen to think that this probably made the news the next morning. The Jerusalem Gazette came out. Chief counsel to the president dies in mysterious death. Now, I don't know, but that's not ripped from the headlines in modern day issues and so forth. I happen to remember the 90s. I happen to remember individuals that were the counsel to the president, and they just all of a sudden came up and they had passed away. Does anybody remember this from the 90s? I won't go any further on that. Not a conspiracy guy, but anyway, you might remember this. Where has all this come from? This is straight out of the Word of God. So the headline reads, Ahithophel, counsel to the king, takes his own life, he dies, and now who's he left with as a counselor? Hushai, of course. And look at verse number 24. Then David came to Mahanaim, and Absalom passed over Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him. And Absalom made Amasa captain of the host instead of Joab, which Amasa was a man's son, whose name was Ithra, an Israelite, that went in to Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister to Zariah, Joab's mother. So a lot of connections there and a lot of overlapping things that relate to both Absalom, the house of Absalom, the house of David, and Absalom being his son. Verse number 26. So Israel and Absalom pitched in the land of Gilead. And it came to pass when David had come to Mahanaim that Shobi, the son of Nahash of Rabbah, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Amiel of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogelim. They brought beds and basins and earthen vessels and wheat and barley and flour and parched corn and beans and lentils and parched pulse. They had a church fellowship, okay? They had all the goods necessary. Verse number 29, and honey and butter and sheep and cheese of wine for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Great chapter of the Word of God. Now, what are the lessons for us? David seemingly, or David is seemingly defeated. And yet God is at work. The counsel for war is given. Ahithophel gives one counsel that's actually profitable to Absalom, but Absalom doesn't listen to that. He listens to the counsel of Hushai. Hushai sends out spies to let David know, hey, get to this location. And by the way, David was a great man of war, and given time and opportunity to prepare, don't mess with a great man of war. I don't know if you've ever listened to them intently in sporting events or things like this, but some of the great coaches in football and some of the great coaches in basketball, they would often say, Boy, you better beat them this week, because if you give them time to prepare, you're going to be in trouble. If you give them time to prepare and everything like this, and they're only talking about a sporting event in that setting. Here we're talking about war. But here's what's happening. David removes himself from Jerusalem because it's no place to fight. David gets out into the wilderness where he has found himself at home. Absalom has no real background in warfare. He has a great background in cheap murder. That's his background. He has no great background in warfare. David has a background in warfare. And by the way, the men that followed David knew warfare as well. And I mean, they're the hardened master sergeants. I remember when we went to Brother Tony's promotion ceremony. And our son was fresh out of training and everything like that at Fort Benning. And the gentleman that was the leader of the ceremony for Brother Tony was a 3-star general. But at the ceremony, I believe it was a master sergeant that was there at that time as well. Reagan was okay to meet the 3-star general, but he was scared to death to meet the master sergeant. You remember that conversation? He's like, now that guy, you know, and it wasn't anything to say anything negative about the 3-star. He was a very kind man, very gracious and kind. But there's something about that master sergeant that just struck fear in those enlisted guys and everything like that. This is a battle-hardened group, and they are in their comfort zone. In other words, you might say, if the battle's going to take place, I want it to be on my turf, okay? And that's exactly what David was having worked out and having accomplished as it is in this setting. Now, look at how God provides for them in verses 28 and 29. So all these things are now met. They get out on the other side of Jordan. Absalom has not listened to the advice of Ahithophel and gone quickly and kind of taken them by stealth. He is now trying to go mano a mano, but Hushai is working on David's behalf. And look at how they're able to get resources and the necessary things because of what is ahead. So now you've removed David from Jerusalem. You've put him on his home turf, the wilderness. How many years did he spend fighting from the wilderness? And you've now given him sustenance. You've now given food. You've distanced them from the hatred of Saul's family and everything else that was going on there. And now David is given rest. And it is actually rest for the coming battle. Take your Bibles and let's go back to our Psalm, Psalm 3. And I'll close with this tonight because this is, it takes on new, kind of a new look of the story when we read Psalm 3 now. Lord, this is Psalm 3, verse number 1. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Absalom, Ahithophel, the house of Saul, thousands that stayed. Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. Shimei, Ziba, others, rising up against King David, fishing in troubled waters. But thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. Look at how the counsel of Hushai is received and accepted. And God is shielding David from an immediate attack. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, my glory, the lifter up of mine head. As a parent, there has been an occasion or two where your young baby girl or young toddler boy have come to you because they've broken a toy or they've fallen down a step. And they've come to you and they've got big, big crocodile tears coming down their face. And you look into their eyes and you take them by the chin and you lift up their eyes and you have them look you in the face. And you let them know it's going to be okay. Daddy can put the head back on the doll. Dad can put the foot back on the horse. Dad can put a band-aid on the boo-boo. All right? You've been the lifter up of the head. That's exactly what's happening here. God is the lifter up of David's head. Verse number 4, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and He heard me out of His holy hill. Verse number 5, this is really unbelievable when you understand the settings of chapters 14, 15, 16, and now 17. I laid me down and slept. For our men and women that have been on the front lines and that have been in battle and so forth, how much sleep do you really get in those settings? When the air raid sirens go off again and again, when there's always constant vigilance and turmoil, how much sleep do you really get? But David said, I laid me down and slept. Why? The Lord sustained me. I knew that He was a shield. Verse number 6, I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. You see, God had placed David as king of Israel. And to this point, it was not God's timing to remove King David as the king of Israel. And so God is orchestrating things on David's behalf. And when we are hungry, when we are weakened, when we lack sleep, boy, I tell you what, the devil wants to take advantage of those times. And God desires for us to get to that place where we're removed. And we can put our focus back in on Him and gain nourishment and gain rest that we might be fit for the battle. Ahithophel's counsel was actually very good for Absalom. But God was turning that counsel against Absalom because of this. He was acting in rebellion, where David was acting now in righteousness. One of the hardest things for us, as we read Psalm 3, one of the hardest things for all of us is that focus of our eyesight. And it's the difference between looking around and looking up. We do not necessarily see all the ways that God is orchestrating things for our good and for His glory. But God was at work, and here's what He desires from us. Just keep looking up. Just keep looking up. David, on his way out of Jerusalem, doesn't know everything that's being counseled with Absalom. He doesn't know everything that's being counseled. He doesn't know everything that's being said. He doesn't know everything that Hushai is doing and the ways that Hushai is moving and finding others that will help and assist. He doesn't know everything that's going back on the kingdom, and so it's best for him to keep his eyes on an Almighty God. Now, we'll look in the coming week at how all of this turns out in chapter 18. But again, let me drive home the point from Psalm 3. Where is your focus? There's so much happening in this chapter, but the difference is in where David looked. As he looked around, he saw the enemies that abounded. As he looked up, he saw an ally that was far greater. I don't know the challenges that you face tonight, but I know this, God is operating on behalf of His own. It may be a financial challenge. It may be a physical challenge. It may be a workplace and place of employment. It may be that kind of challenge. God is working on behalf of the righteous. Lord, I don't understand all Your path. I don't understand all Your ways. Well, the Lord is our shield. I will not be afraid of 10,000s that have set themselves against me. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this story and for lessons that are learned with each passing week as we look at these chapters. Lord, I pray that You would be tonight with those folks that are gathered here that may be facing challenges, and it seems as though the challenge should have been settled a while back, or weeks ago, or months ago, and yet they still find themselves in the midst of something. Lord, I pray that they would really meditate this week upon Psalm 3 and just consider these chapters from 2 Samuel as they're recorded from David's viewpoint there in the Psalm. And we learn so much from his words. As he looked around, he saw 10,000s of those that have set themselves against him. It seemed like the number was ever growing. But as he looked up, he realized that he was on the Lord's side and that he and the Lord made a majority. And no matter those that had set themselves against him, the Lord would bring victory, give ultimate victory. I pray for the need of the hour. It may be a physical need. It may be a financial need. It may be a family need. Lord, I pray that we'd stay the course, that we'd stay on the path of righteousness, that we'd know that you've called us and that you are there to shield us, let come what may. If there be a heavy heart tonight, would you work as only you can? Give victory, Lord. Help them to see your work behind the scenes. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me tonight? Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I want to have a time of invitation, just a time for you to pray before the Lord. And maybe there's a matter that you take before the Lord tonight and say, Lord, you know, that's my position right now. It seems like everyone or everything is against me. And I just face challenge after challenge after challenge. And I just don't immediately see your hand at work in these matters. But I know that you are at work. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists tonight to play number 511, Nearer, Still Nearer. As we contemplate the words of that song, having that near relationship to the Lord, the Bible says there that He's the lifter up of our heads. In that time where we might be in fear and trepidation and crying tears, God comes and ministers to His children. Absalom meant to defeat David. But Absalom wasn't just working against David. Absalom was working against the will of God. We must be faithful and keep our eyes on Him.